get through and may have to delay a couple of these here. So with that, Kevin, do you want to take off on deer hunting here?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roebling here, Special Projects Coordinator. Today I would like to really dive into the weeds of these deer license draw alternatives. They were just released to the public here in the last couple days, and I'd really like to provide some more information, some background information, some justification in how we got to where we're at today. So I'm going to dive right into it. This is also going to be found in your booklets on page 20. We have we call it a white paper here explaining kind of the nuts and bolts of the alternatives, but then on page, I believe it's 21, the next page there, 20A, I'm sorry. It really goes into great detail, and I'm going to go into that detail here in the next few slides. I do have to kind of give an apology. Some of these slides are very wordy, but I really just want to really provide some detailed information as to what these alternatives mean and how they might impact our deer license, our deer applicants, I should say. So with that, we'll just dive right into it. Background information. So how did this all come about? And really, it came about during the development of the statewide deer management plan. There were several management considerations, social considerations, that were identified through the stakeholder group and through public meetings and through all the comments we received during that deer plan development and finalization. One area that received considerable attention from the public was deer license allocation. This was a consistent message. Folks consistently brought up they would like to increase the number of deer hunters who draw their preferred license, the preferred deer license, and that has been the goal. So the commission work group, made up of Commissioner Phillips and Commissioner Olson, asked the department to evaluate potential alternatives to the current license allocation process. And again, I'm going to repeat this because this is the goal that would potentially increase the number of hunters who draw the preferred deer license. So the department developed numerous alternatives, and we did that through a 30-member internal work group. And the list of alternatives was really... The list of alternatives was narrowed down to four and then presented to the deer management stakeholder group in December. We had a lot of great discussion at the deer stakeholder group and at the internal work group. And really what it came down to after that stakeholder group, the list of alternatives was narrowed down to three. And those three I'll present here today. The next step as well is going to be the focus group public involvement meetings. And we'll get into those meetings at the end of the presentation. So before we get into really the detailed explanation of what these alternatives are and what they would potentially do to, you know, applying for a deer license, I wanted to provide some statistics or some numbers. How many unique deer applicants did we have in 2017? We had 63,700 residents and 7,909 non-residents. So well over 70,000 folks in this state applied for a deer license. That's a pretty big number. This impacts a lot of folks. This impacts a lot of recreational users. Some other pieces of information. How many individuals had only one any deer or any white-tailed deer license in 2017? 31,000 residents, about 5,000 non-residents. How many had two? 9,754 residents, 227 non-residents. How many had three any deer or any white-tailed deer licenses in 2017? Right around 2,700 residents and 11 non-residents. How many had four any deer or any white-tailed deer licenses in 2017? 730 residents, zero non-residents, and there's more than five, about 82 residents. So that's just kind of a breakdown of folks that had multiple any deer or any white-tailed deer licenses in their possession in 2017. I apologize for the small numbers there, but I'll just kind of articulate a few key points on this slide. And the first thing there is East River Deer resident applicants. We had about 32,000. Of those 32,000, there was 18,955 successful applicants with an overall success rate of about 59%. So of the 32,000 East River Deer applicants, 24,405 only applied for East River Deer. So those 24,000 folks, they wanted to hunt East River Deer, and that was pretty much the only place they wanted to hunt. So of those that were just applying for East River Deer, right around 14,481 were successful. Of the 13,000 unsuccessful applicants that only applied for East River Deer, 9,000 didn't hunt or apply for any other season. So there are folks out there that really do have a preferred choice, that really do want to hunt one in particular East River Deer, one particular season, and those are some of the statistics to support that. West River Deer, resident applicants right around 20,000, successful applicants right around 11,000, unsuccessful right around 9,000, which gives us an overall success rate of drawing their first choice tag at 56%. Of those 20,000 West River Deer applicants, 9,000 only applied for West River Deer. So again, of the 9,000 unsuccessful applicants, total West River Deer, there was about 3,800 that didn't apply for another season. So there's you know, that's the number of folks that they didn't apply for anywhere else. That's their preferred season, right around 3,800. Black Hills Deer, same story. We have about 13,000 applicants for Black Hills Deer. Successful applicants right around 4,000, it's 3,999, which gives us an overall success rate of 30%. So of the 9,340 unsuccessful applicants, there was about 3,500 that didn't apply for another season. So all in all, when you sum up the unsuccessful applicants for West River Deer, East River Deer, Black Hills, we have about 17,000 applicants that only applied for one of those three seasons. So there is this preferred choice, I guess that would be an example of folks that are really after one tag in particular. We can call it their preferred choice tag, that aren't drawing that tag, and then that would be the only tag they'd applied for in 2017. So that kind of brought us to a couple of these alternatives, and this is alternative one, and alternative one is really drawings for East River Deer, West River Deer, and Black Hills Deer seasons would be at the same time, and applicants would have to choose between one of the three seasons as their first choice or second choice and second choice in the first draw. So conceptually here, you have an application in front of you. It has West River Deer, Black Hills, and East River Deer on it. You'd have to make a choice between those three seasons as to what your first choice and your second choice is for that first draw. There would be a total of four lottery draws, and I'll just go through each draw here one by one because every draw is a little bit different as to how the structure of it would be broken down. Residents would have the opportunity to apply for a first and second choice across the combination of three seasons, just like I mentioned. Non-residents would have the same opportunity to apply for a first and second choice for the available non-resident licenses across the combination of only West River Deer and Black Hills. East River Deer would still be out of it because we only allocate 8% of the resident allocation goes towards, you know, West River Deer, Black Hills for non-residents, and that would still remain the same, that 8% for West River Deer and Black Hills. An applicant can only get one license in the first draw period. Going into the second draw here, and this would be found in your packet as well. The second draw, the big difference here is individuals who did not receive a first draw license would be eligible to apply for a license in the second draw. Only those folks that didn't receive a first draw license could apply in the second draw. And then the same would go for the non-residents, and the non-residents can only apply for that 8%, whatever's left over with that 8% for the West River and the Black Hills Deer only. The third draw, this is when the residents, including residents successful in the first or second draw periods, would have the opportunity to apply for a first and second choice across the combination of the three seasons. So that third draw period, regardless if you got a tag or not, you could apply for another tag. Non-residents, if there's some tags left after that, if there's some of the 8% of those tags are left in the West River Deer and Black Hills Deer, they could apply for a second tag as well. I wouldn't anticipate there being any licenses left at that time in the third draw, being there was only 8% allocated. But however, I would anticipate there would be some licenses left over in the third draw for residents to apply for. Fourth draw, licenses remaining in the fourth draw period would be pooled and made available to both residents and non-residents. And this would be across the combination of those three seasons. Hunters would have the opportunity to pick up three additional licenses. And then leftovers after the fourth draw period, remaining licenses would be issued first come, first serve. Any questions on that first alternative right now? Well, we just went over that before I jump into alternative two. And alternative two is very similar. Alternative two, really the main difference with alternative two is instead of just East River Deer, West River Deer, Black Hills, we're adding three additional seasons to pick from: National Wildlife Refuge, Custer State Park, and Muzzleloader Deer. In total, then, there would be six seasons on their application. The applicant would have to pick their first and second choice of one of those six seasons in the first draw. And there would be, again, a total of four lottery draws. The first draw, like I said, residents would have to choose between those six seasons. And those six seasons, again, are East River Deer, West River Deer, Black Hills Deer, National Wildlife Refuge, Custer State Park, and Muzzleloader. Non-residents would be the exact same. Again, 8% of that allocation, of the resident allocation, goes to non-residents. And that only includes West River Deer, Black Hills Deer, National Wildlife Refuge Deer, and antlerless muzzleloader would also be included in that, but there wouldn't be no Custer State Park or no East River Deer non-resident licenses available. Again, one license in the first draw period, very similar to alternative one. So moving on then to the second draw of alternative number two. Again, only individuals who did not receive a first draw license would be eligible to apply for a license in the second draw period. That's the take-home message there. Folks that were unsuccessful in the first draw are only eligible to apply in the second draw. Moving down to the third draw then, residents, including residents successful in both first and second draw, would have the opportunity to apply for first and second choice across the combinations of those six seasons I just mentioned. And then the non-residents would have that same opportunity if there's licenses available from that 8% of the allocation, of the 8% of the resident allocation. Fourth draw, very similar to alternative one. Licenses remaining in the fourth draw period would be pooled for all six of those seasons. And then the leftovers after the fourth draw period, remaining licenses would be issued first come, first served. So some additional information here I'd really like to provide to the commission and folks listening in. You know, our preference point system, and this would apply to both alternatives one and two, our preference point system would remain in place, and applicants would not lose current accumulated points if they were to draw the first choice in the first draw. That would be the only time they'd lose that preference point. Otherwise, they can continue accumulating preference for those other seasons along the way and only use preference for their first draw, first choice license. Landowner preference would remain unchanged. There is one thing here I want to mention. Landowners would not be able to use landowner preference in more than one season. An example, a landowner couldn't use landowner preference for both West River Deer and East River Deer if they own land on both sides of the river. No changes would be made to archery or youth deer application process. That would remain unchanged. Individuals who received a special buck license would not be eligible to apply until the third draw period. That special buck license would be considered an East River Deer or West River Deer. That would be lumped into those seasons as it currently is today. Group applications would still be an available option. One thing they'd have to do though is make sure the entire group made their first choice in the first draw the same, and they'd have to use that group number for their first choice first draw selection. Non-resident allocation would remain the same and be set at 8% of the available resident licenses for West River Deer, Black Hills, and National Wildlife Refuge. That non-resident license allocation would remain the same, and that's something I really wanted to point out here today. Applicants can only apply for one season as a first choice. Only one season's preference points can be used in the first draw. That's what I mentioned earlier. If a person is unsuccessful for their first choice, they likely will not be able to draw any hard-to-draw licenses in any of the seasons included in option one and two. And that's something, you know, that we just want to make that clear. If you put in for a very hard-to-draw license, that first draw, first choice, and all a whole bunch of other people do as well, that would be hard to draw that license or get a license in the second draw of that similar license. So, you know, those hard-to-draw units are going to be difficult to get in that second draw. And then the last one there was the deer application deadlines. They would change. They'd have to be all the same date. Right now they're staggered in a sense, where West River Deer is first, and then Muzzleloader and East River Deer are kind of towards September. West River Deer is in that July time frame. Alternative three, no change to current license draw process. That's always going to be an option. It's always going to be an alternative for consideration throughout the process here of public involvement, which gets me into the focus group meetings. Public involvement is very important to this department, and we want to make sure we do our due diligence in collecting public feedback and public opinion on this issue. This impacts over 70,000 deer applicants, so it's very important we understand exactly how those users are feeling about these alternatives and these options. So what we're looking at doing and what we are doing is additional feedback will be collected using focus groups made up of deer applicants. These focus groups will be held starting in March. March 13th will be our first meeting in Pierre. There'll be 9 of them across the state. An email was sent to resident deer applicants who provided an email address asking for focus group participants. We anticipate, there will be 9 focus groups, like I mentioned, and each group will be capped at about 30 to 40 participants. Applicants were asked to select a location where they were interested in participating, and once we had those folks select those locations, we're going to conduct a random draw to get that list down to 40 applicants. One thing to note there as well, participants may only participate in one focus group in the state. So here's what we had so far for participation. We've had over 800 people respond to the request for focus group participants. So those listening in, I appreciate everybody's involvement. And, I took a lot of calls, a lot of emails. Folks they're becoming engaged. This is exciting because there's a lot of folks here. Our focus group meetings, we have, with the exception of one in Phillips still, we have about only 13 participants in Philip, but this was as a couple days ago. But everywhere else, we are going to have to draw a random draw to select 40 participants out of for each one of those 9 focus groups. One thing I want to make sure that's very clear, though, the main objective of these focus groups is to discuss the potential alternatives and 2, receive feedback on a level of support or opposition for the alternatives, and 3, determine how participants will apply for deer licenses under each alternative. We will be giving each participant a mock deer application. We'll have them fill out that mock deer application for alternative 1 and alternative 2. We'll also be giving the participants a survey to kind of give us their feedback on their preference of what alternative they prefer the most. What we're going to do with those data then that we collect from the mock application, we'll hopefully be able to run some simulations and somewhat project out using what are people's first choice. It's really hard to know how they're going to apply. What is their most preferred season? And those data that we collect at those focus groups will help us answer hopefully some of those questions through some modeling exercises. So on top of the deer license alternatives, there was some other topics under consideration that are going to be discussed here. And these are all topics that were discussed during the development of the deer management plan and other social considerations that we'd like to continue discussing with the commission and folks that are, our deer hunters in particular. Limited access units. This one has garnered a lot of attention and has been brought up numerous times in the deer stakeholder group and in public comments, along with the commission work group. And the department has been collecting use information through access permits in the last 3 years. We're starting to get some pretty good data on our limited access units, the amount of archery pressure and other harvest statistics pertaining to those limited access units from those access permits. So we're reviewing archery hunter information and the approach of allocating limited number of access permits for some of these LAUs. We're looking at potentially residents and non-resident limitations potentially. These are all options on the table for discussion. And we hope to bring some sort of recommendation to the commission here for your consideration at the April meeting. We're going to dive into the data some more, but at the end of the day, there's been a pretty consistent message that a limited access unit really isn't a limited access unit unless you limit the other user groups that utilize that access unit. Right now, only firearm hunters are limited at those access units or within those access units, so there's been a lot of talk about limiting archery hunters as well. Black Hills mule deer harvest. This has been a topic discussed over the number of mule deer bucks harvested during the Black Hills deer season has been comparable to the archery season. We limit mule deer harvest in the Black Hills for firearm very extensively. However, there is no limitations on the number of archery hunters that can pursue mule deer bucks in the Black Hills. So we're looking very closely at that. We're actually considering the requirement of an access permit to archery hunt the Black Hills. It'd be a free access permit, similar to what we have right now, if you wanted to archery hunt the Black Hills, and that's really to collect data. We're after data. We got to have data to make some informed decisions, and that recommendation will also be brought forward to the commission at the April meeting. I forgot to hit my slider there. Sorry. Archery season start date. This is another one that a petition was received in 2014 to adjust the start date of the archery deer season. And during the discussion of that petition, the department said we would look at that during the development of the deer management plan. And that now is, that plan has been finalized, and we are going to discuss the start date of the archery deer seasons. Currently, they're the fourth Saturday of September, and there's a lot of options on the table there. A lot of states go with September 1st, some go with the second Saturday of September. There's a lot of things there for consideration, but we would like to bring forward a recommendation to the commission at the April meeting on the archery season start date. And then lastly is non-resident archery licenses. Numerous suggestions and a high level of desire from some out there to limit the number of non-resident archery licenses, especially any deer licenses. Deer licenses that are where a hunter or non-resident can harvest a mule deer buck in particular. There's been a lot of discussion on limiting those licenses across the state. They're currently unlimited. There has been concerns expressed over pressure on public lands. We're listening to those concerns. We're receiving that feedback. And again, this one will be discussed at the April meeting. And I wanted to just bring this up because, you know, at the end of the day, public involvement continues to be a very high priority to this department. And, you know, we want to do this in a very open and transparent public process. And there would be no changes to the deer season in 2018 pertaining to the things I just talked about. These would be changes made in 2019. But I do encourage folks and folks listening in to get involved, to get engaged with the department, to really reach out and let us know how you feel about certain issues and make sure that your voice is being heard. We strongly encourage hunters to, you know, look at our webpage, our department website. It's full of great information. Our social media pages are, you know, the targeted emails we send out. There's some great information on there. And I can't stress that enough. Public involvement is a very, very high priority to this department. So with that, I've talked enough, and I'd take questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. That's an in-depth report. Questions on the deer draw? It's going to be a the groups are, I think, going to shed a lot of light on how it's going to shake out probably when you get them. A lot of interest there then.
Yes, absolutely, Mr. Chairman. I'm excited for all the interest with those focus groups, and I think, yes, we'll get a better understanding of how our deer hunters feel about these alternatives and the direction they'd like to go.
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Commissioner Phillips here. good job, Kevin. I think that covered a lot of things. I hope there were a lot of listeners, and I hope they understood exactly what you were trying to say. Just want to comment that the main reason for bringing these options is to increase the chance for more hunters to get their first choice license. That's mainly the reason we're doing this. We're hearing that people aren't getting the license they want year after year. This is an opportunity to increase their chances to get that first license. And for everybody listening, we're bringing you an opportunity to engage. And please do that. Please come to these focus groups. Please give us your comments. Please be engaged, because this is an opportunity to do that.
Yes. Go ahead, Kelly.
It's Kelly Hepler. I just want to commend the commission. If you think about the topics which this commission has or will be undertaking, you know, we have deer, which pretty much touches every hunter listening. we have refuges, and as you know, as Commissioner Sharp and others know, there's a lot of passion around those, what you want to do. We're taking on, you know, Keith's going to come up, and we're talking about, you know, potential snaring, what that means in our public areas. That's a very much a passion, emotional issue. We took on non-meandered water issue, and then the whole petition process, which we're still figuring out as we go through those times. And every one of those topics are important to everybody in this state. And, you know, it's a lot going on. And then we still haven't really talked to the broader discussion about, you know, the whole business around, you know, resident versus non-resident use of our parks and use of our public lands, some of those things. That's a huge issue, which touches pretty much every one of the discussions I just mentioned. So I applaud you for that. But I know as this member of the public, and, you know, I'm human like everybody else, change is a scary thing. But I also think it's healthy to have these kind of discussions. I just want to be clear, this isn't the department or the commission say this is the way it has to be. We're also responding to what we're hearing from the public. And it's hard at times, and I've, you know, seen some of the emails that Kevin and Tom said he's never going to be on top of the email list again, but it's important to get informed. It's easy to have an opinion, but it's much harder to have an informed opinion. So I just, you know, I ask patience for the public. This is a neat opportunity. You have a commission here that's willing to take these hard issues on. And there's a lot of places and a lot of the states wouldn't touch any of these issues. Because status quo is a lot easier to do. So I applaud you guys for doing that. And ladies, I realize we don't have two ladies here. But so I hope public does engage, as I think Cindy and, you know, you're trying to work on, Kevin. So, you know, hats off to you guys, too. So we'll see where this goes.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. On the leftover license after the fourth draw, first come, first serve there. And I think it says unlimited number of deer license for the three seasons and units. So,
yes. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes. That is very similar to how our draws are today. If there are leftover licenses, after all the draws have completed, folks can get as many of those licenses as they want, if they're available. A lot of times there will be some antlerless licenses available at that time. There are folks that, you know, can get 5, 10, sometimes 15 licenses at that leftover period. That would still remain the same. This wouldn't necessarily limit the number of licenses an individual could get, but the whole intent of this exercise or these alternatives is to get folks their preferred deer license, their first choice license. What Commissioner Phillips mentioned earlier, that is the intent of this exercise.
So the likelihood these would be antlerless tags, probably, wouldn't they?
Yes, I would say with pretty high confidence, those licenses left over there after the fourth draw period would most likely be antlerless licenses.
Okay. All right. Yes, go ahead, Gary.
When you talk about public lands, especially with non-resident archery, is that state and federal, or are we talking just state lands, or?
That would include both state and federal, and school and public lands. That would be under state as well. You know, and a lot of the issues we're hearing are going to be public lands adjacent to and west of the Missouri River, our mule deer distribution or our mule deer range, per se, would be the areas that we do hear are being crowded by archery hunters in particular, and some of those archery hunters do include non-residents. And we are one of the first states, obviously, coming from the east that have mule deer and an unlimited opportunity at mule deer, especially pertaining with archery. So, yes, both state and federal lands adjacent to and west of the Missouri River.
So that, to me, always gets us back a little bit into resident versus non-resident, and you got federal lands versus state lands and who owns what. And so when you bring us whatever you're going to bring us, could you identify, I mean, break down public lands so we have so much federal land, so much state land, and I don't know if there's a map that we can do or what, but
yes, most definitely we can have those acreage amounts of ownership of federal versus state broken out. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Okay, anything else? All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
I think we will.